And for our short reflection this morning, please turn with me to today's second reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Let us pray. Dear God, we give all glory and honor to you, O Lord. And we come before your throne of grace this morning. And we thank you for gathering all of us together to your holy sanctuary. And Father, we ask you to bless us and empower us by the power of your word and power of your spirit. And help us to worship you in truth and spirit. Father, speak to us through your word. And open our hearts and minds to see the wonders in your word. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. We know that all things work together for good of for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And this letter of Paul to Romans was written to a church that Paul had neither founded nor visited. And it's obvious from the very beginning of this letter, Romans chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul says, in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last by God's, the way may be open for me to come to you. That means he haven't visited the Roman church yet. Then, who introduced Christianity to the Rome? It's a question. We don't know exactly who introduced Christianity to the Roman church. There are a lot of debates among the New Testament scholars. Some claim that it was through the Peter, but it's not fully confirmed it was through the Peter. But it's believed that it was through some unknown believers from Jerusalem. Because in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, there we read, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. After the persecution, the Christians, they scattered across different parts of the world. And they began to preach the word wherever they went. And it's believed that it's through some of the Christians who scattered from Jerusalem, they introduced Christianity to the Roman church, in whatever it may be. And this was a letter, it was not written by Paul, it was not written by his own hand, rather he dictated this letter to Tertius. That's what we read in chapter 16, verse 22. There we read, I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. So Paul dictated this letter to Tertius while he was in Corinth, probably around AD 57. That's what the New Testament scholars date. And we know the reason behind Paul addressing the Roman church. I have preached a couple of times. Whenever I used to preach from the book of Romans, I often caught the reason, the context of Paul's letter. Do you remember what was the reason? Okay, just leave it. It's my headache, not your headache. Paul was writing this letter or dictating this letter to the Roman church because there was a mounting tension between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. That was the reason. The Gentiles, the Christians who embraced Christianity recently, they were advised by the Jewish Christians that no, the gospel is not enough. Christ is not enough. You need to observe the law for salvation. And they were confused. They were partly purposed. They didn't know what to do. Whether to accept the Christ alone or they need to do what the law prescribes. That was the tension. And addressing to this issue, Paul was writing this letter or through Tertius to the Roman church. And so whenever we study the word of God, to have a deeper understanding, we need to understand the context in which it was written. That's very, very important. It's not for a reading. When you really want to study the Word of God, you need to understand the context. Then only you can understand the whole concept. And I believe, personally, I believe it is a need of the hour for the members or the believers in the traditional churches to study the Word of God, not just read. It is a need of the hour. I personally believe that. You know why? Because most of the members in the traditional churches, they don't have a deep root in the Word of God. I'm sorry for making these kind of statements, but it's true. Of course, we read the Word of God and we know some verses from here and there. We know some couple of stories from creation to revelation, some stories of Moses, Abraham, these are some we know, but we don't have a deep root in the Word of God. Our faith is not rooted in the Word of God. And unfortunately, because of that, you know, they are easily get carried away with other teachings, with new doctrines, even with some heresies. That's why I personally believe it is a need of the hour for all of us to study the Word of God systematically. That is very, very important for our spiritual journey, for our spiritual growth. So I didn't mean that you are not reading the Bible. I know you all are very committed Christians. You read the Bible, I know. But still, we need to study the Word of God systematically. That's very, very important. All around, you just look around the globe, all around the world, the traditional churches are declining day by day. People are attracted to some newly born churches, so newly born fellowship here and there, because of their new doctrines. So we need to go back to the root. We need to anchor our faith deep in the Word of God. Now, every Sunday, after listening the sermon, you should have the Berean's attitude. What is Berean's attitude? Attitude of people in Berea. What was their attitude in the people in Berea? It was we found in the book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 17 verse 11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." That was the Berean attitude. Paul was preaching to them the gospel, but these Christians in Berea, after listening to the sermon, they went back and they examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's what called the Berean attitude. You should also have. So while I was just reading this verse, I was just trying to paraphrase it, something like this. Now, the Ashburton Parish believers of more noble character than those in Melbourne, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Biju said was true. It sounds good, isn't it? I need you to have that kind of attitude. Go back and refer. Don't just listen through one ear and leave through another ear. Just listen, go back and refer whether it is there in the scripture. We need to anchor our spiritual life in the Word of God. Okay, coming back to our text this morning, Romans 8:28. Here Paul says, "All things work together for good." In verse 18, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. So he was addressing the suffering of some certain Christians they were going through in the Roman church. And suffering and hardship are part and parcel of Christian life. Don't expect that once you have become a Christian, everything goes smooth, good, and well as you wish. No, not at all. It is a fact that we need to endure hardship and suffering in our spiritual life, in our spiritual journey. It's a truth. It's a fact. And if anyone is teaching the other way, it is not true. I would rather say it's a heresy. The propagators of the prosperity theology all around the world, they preach something like that, you know, once you are accepted Christ, once you committed your life for the Christ, then your account will be flooded with thousands of dollars and your garage will be filled with new brand cars, this and that. It's true that God will bless us. I have no doubt in that. God will certainly bless us because that's his promise. But that doesn't mean that we are out of trouble. God will certainly bless us. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions may go hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. That's good. That's sure. But that doesn't mean we are out of trouble. Even Jesus himself said, we will have many troubles in this world. John 16:33, there we read, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we will have troubles in this world. But God is able to make everything, every sufferings, work together for our good. That's what Paul says in 8:28. So this verse, 8:28, sounds very soothing, satisfying and relaxing sometimes, isn't it? Oh, no matter whatever comes in my life, God will work everything good for me. So I don't need to worry. Sounds very soothing, this word. But we often overlook the clause included in it. There is a clause included in it. It's almost like an attractive ad that comes in a newspaper or a magazine or a TV or somewhere. That says you have, you know, $1 million reward, something like that. And if you closely watch the ad, beneath that there will be something written in a very small font. What is that? Condition apply. Okay, this is our offer for you, but there is a condition. Conditions apply. The same way, when we look at this verse, we know that all things work together for good. Okay, that sounds very nice, very satisfying, relaxing, but there is a clause included in it. What it says, that the persons in whose behalf all things work for good are they who love God. That's a clause. Those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So everything works good for those who love God. That's a clause. Okay, let me ask you, do we love God? Wonderful. Then what kind of love you have for God? What kind of love? Oh, great. Oh, theologians are here. great. Thank you for that. The same question once Jesus asked to a gentleman, to whom he asked? Peter, yes. He asked the same question to Peter, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? In John 21, Jesus asked three times that question. The first two times, Peter's response was almost same. You know that I love you. Lord, you know that I love you. But Jesus asked a third time. He repeated the question three times. There are so many reasons why he repeated, but one reason, to understand the difference between Peter's answers, three answers, we need to look into the original Greek text where we find Peter was not responding to what was asked for. Jesus asked, Simon, Joano, agape me? That was his question. Simon, Joano, agape me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter's answer was, Nai kurie se odios hoti philese. He said, Lord, I have affection for you. Agape and phileo. These are two words, different words. Jesus asked, agape me? Do you have the unconditional love for me? And he said, Phileese, I have an affection for you. That means a friendly affection. That's why Jesus repeated that question third time, to bring him from the Phileia to agape. Unconditional love. If you have an unconditional love for God, then whatever come, we don't care. And we should have that agape, unconditional love for God. Once we have that unconditional love, then Paul says in verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? If you have an unconditional love for God, nothing can separate you from the Lord. Again, in verse 38 and 39, Paul repeatedly says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor hate, nor depth, nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what kind of love you have for Lord? If you have an unconditional love for God, then everything will work good for you. So all things work together for good for those who stand firm in loving God. Those have unconditional love for God. What does it mean? When you have an unconditional love, even when the whole world stands against you, you will keep on loving God. Even everything goes upside down, you will still love God. Even when your life is in danger, you will still love God. Even when people make fun out of your faith, you will still love God. That is the agape, unconditional love. If you have such a love for God, then he will make everything good for you. That's what Paul trying to communicate with the believers back in the Roman church. And today it is for all of us in your life. As we endure many hardship, Paul says, God can turn everything for our good. And all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to purpose, his purpose. And following verses, there are some very important theological terms, predestination. You know, there's a different kind of things we need to address And if you want to look into all those things, we need more than 1 hour. So I'm not going to that. So just know that if we have an unconditional love for God, He will make everything good for us. Amen.